Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guest is Micah Dank. Before I bring him on, I want to thank CuriosityStream. They're the award-winning destination for documentary series covering every topic from space exploration to adventure. Satisfy your thirst for knowledge anytime and anywhere with CuriosityStream. Their subscriptions start at only $2.99 a month. Just click the link in the description to sign up today. Also, please subscribe to Forbidden Knowledge News on LBRY.com. It's our official backup channel. Of course, Forbidden Knowledge News is always available on all popular podcast platforms. And also, please be sure to check out our new show, Beyond Classified. It is exclusively on Rockfin, which is a great new platform for independent media and content creators. And all those links are in the description. Tonight, I want to welcome back to the show Micah Dank. From a young age, he wanted to be a writer, coming from a family of writers. His father was a producer and radio news editor at CBS News in Manhattan, and his grandfather was a producer at CBS News. Micah was an actor in high school and became interested in writing from his 12th grade English teacher, Russell Reed. From there, he majored and earned his bachelor's degree in language literature and criticism. It wasn't until he moved to Boston for a new job that he became interested in all the esoteric sciences, including the astrology and astrotheology, prevalent through his book series, Into the Rabbit Hole. Micah, welcome back. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm good, man. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, I really enjoyed last time. You were on, you really presented some fascinating and compelling information about the Bible, and it brings a new understanding that it is encoded with this astrotheology. And the true messages have been manipulated by not only the Catholic Church and those, of course, at the top that have always used religion as a tool for power and control. But tonight we're going to go deeper and take a look at some of the modern interpretations of the Bible and its aspects and how the symbolism has been manipulated and used in the music industry, Hollywood, movies, the media. But I thought we could start with just a brief synopsis of what we went over last time and really just tell us what the Bible really is and how you came to the understanding of its true meaning and purpose.
Yeah, sure. So what happened was about 9 years ago, I was living in Boston. I just moved there for a new job and I didn't really know many people. So I spent a lot of time, I was basically running with Anonymous. Like whenever they had protests, I would go with them to into the middle of Boston. And besides that, I would just listen to, interviews on YouTube. And I came across this one guy called Jordan Maxwell, and he made a point in one of his talks where he said that the disciples were asking Jesus where to meet him for Passover, and Jesus told him to go into the middle of town, and you'll see a man holding a water pitcher. Follow him into his house. And that was significant for two reasons. Number one, back in the day, in that day and time, carrying water was a woman's job. You know, it was a very effeminate thing to do. Men would never be caught with the water. And secondly, he said that the man with the water pitcher symbolizes the man with the water pitcher as Aquarius. So I thought that was interesting. And then I came across another guy who's big in the circle, Santos Bonocchi. And I just listened to some of his podcasts and I was just blown away. So I was listening to them for 6-7 months straight, to the point where I got real understanding of the Bible and the hidden symbolism of the Zodiac. And then basically got into astrotheology and I was able to start decoding some passages like I did on last episode. And I've gone even further than that, man. I've decoded the entire book of Matthew as far as astrology goes. I've decoded the book of Revelation as far as that goes, the book of Enoch. I could basically do it with any book that's in the Bible. But I've only done a few just to I guess, prove a point. Right. I haven't done the whole Bible. But yeah, that's basically where I was, and that led me into other things too, which we'll talk about tonight.
Definitely, and it's definitely more than enough compelling information to bring to the table that, yes, this is a book of astrotheology. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to get into tonight is some of the more modern aspects. You had sent me a few notes earlier about, many researchers believe today that our music industry, the movie industries are run by Satanists or devil worshipers. And right. One of the reason is the use of certain symbolisms or hand signs. Now, what are your thoughts on that? Is there a hidden occult world behind our music and movie industries?
There is. There definitely is. I haven't looked too much into the movie industry, to be honest with you. In fact, with my book series, I'm actually trying to break into it to get it to a larger audience. So I'm not really sure when it comes to that, to be honest with you. But in the music industry, for sure. Absolutely. Lots of hand symbols that you'll recognize, which we'll go through. I gave you the list. You could just basically question me one by one and I'll go over them. But basically what you'll find is these hand symbolisms that are out there. Every single one of them at one point started as something very positive.
Now, why were these, you know, you said they all started out as very positive. Why were these manipulated into being
I'm not sure why negative? Specific ones. I'm not sure why specific ones were chosen to be manipulated, but I could tell you this is the reason that it was, is that people have no idea what they are. People have no idea its true hidden meaning. They see the okay symbol and they assume it's 666, the devil, but they don't really know the hidden meaning of it.
Now, in this music industry, do you think that these artists actually know what these signs that they're putting up, that they actually know about these occult symbols?
I think some of them, like I think Jay-Z does, because Jay-Z does the he makes the diamond symbol that we all know for Roc Nation. Mm-hmm. He makes the diamond symbol. Some of them do, but a lot of them really don't. A lot of them just do it because they're told to. You know, right. the music producer will sit there and be like, hey, can you just make this symbol real quick? It's going to be really good. Or a lot of them don't really know what the deal is, but some of them do. There's plenty of songs talking about people that sold their soul to the devil, you know, and they know. Some of them know. So it's a nice mix.
And it's so confusing because, you know, nowadays when you say that these are Satan worshipers, it doesn't seem to me that they're using actual Satanism other than some possible older occult practices. I don't know if it would be really interpreted as Satanism.
True Satanism is not a bad thing. I'm not going out there and saying that all Satanists and all Luciferians understand the true nature of Satanism or Luciferianism. But again, those are things that have been perverted too. And the people at the top, they know the deal. They know that it's a psyop, because what they do is they take something and they pervert it and then they pervert it again. Do you remember the okay hand symbol? How everybody says, oh, it's 666?
Yes.
Right. But then there's another PSYOP that went out there recently. Do you remember when they said that it also means white power?
No, I didn't get that one.
You don't remember that when they were talking about that? That was in the news. It was like big in politics, the 666 symbol. Yeah, so it's a double PSYOP is what it is. It's 5D chess is what it is.
So when we look at the origins of the 666, what does it really mean?
So the 666, what it really means, the OK symbol, okay? The OK symbol, you look at it because you turn around and your pinky, your ring, and your middle finger, they all form the line down, and then your forefinger and your thumb form the base. So it's 666, okay? But what it means is basically, if you take that hand symbol and you flip it upside down so that the thumb and the pointer finger are pointing straight up in the air, it's the same symbol, you just flipped it upside down. That's the Buddhist Om. That's actually the lotus position. That's the lotus position in meditation. And you see people holding their fingers out like this.
Yes.
That's basically where it comes from.
So they just basically inverted it for this PSYOP confusion purpose to keep everybody.
Right.
I mean, it just seems like they just want to keep everybody in the dark about, you know, the true nature of our hidden occult history and spirituality and what all this really means. You know, they just want to put so much misinformation out there, whether it's on the internet or through the media, about what the Bible is, about what Satanism is, and nobody really knows until you actually start, you know, digging really deep into it, what these people are actually doing and what's behind it all.
Right, exactly. 100%.
Yeah, it's very, very fascinating. What about the covering of the eye? We see a lot of these celebrities doing the covering the eye.
Right.
Goes back to the back to Horus.
It does. It goes back to Horus. So the covering the eye, and it's always the right eye. You cover the right eye, and then that basically you see that in the music. There's countless pictures of people in the music industry having their face covered, or celebrities doing it. It goes back to the eye of Horus. It's been perverted to say that that's the, like, the all-seeing eye at the top of the pyramid on the dollar bill.
Yeah.
And then it's basically evil Freemasonry and this and that, which is nonsense because Freemasonry is not even evil. But basically it goes back to Horus, where it's easy, and that's the covering of the eye. It's to represent the pineal gland, the sagittal cut of your brain. You take a sagittal cut of your brain, which is basically cutting it in half, and then you open up one half of the brain and you look at it and you see. Have you ever seen the Eye of Horus before?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the Eye of Horus. Basically, the middle part that looks like a button is the eye. And then above it, there, the eyebrow or the ridge, right above it is the corpus callosum. So the ancients knew the Eye of Horus. They knew about the pineal gland. They knew about all the secrets that it had in itself.
Now,
they
when
knew
you talk
about all that.
About the pineal gland, for those that, you know, may not be familiar with this, the secrets of the pineal gland and the powers that it brings to human consciousness when activated,
right.
Talk a little bit about that and what the ancients knew about it.
So the ancients knew in the Bible. In the Bible, they literally mention it. It says Jacob saw the place. I think it's Genesis 32:30. I might be wrong about that, but it is in Genesis. So Jacob saw the place, and he called it Peniel, P-E-N-I-E-L, for he had been there and he had seen God face to face. So Peniel over time becomes pineal. And they knew about this. That's why everything was about the eye, the all-seeing eye. In the Jewish religion, you have the Hamsa, which is to ward away the evil eye. It goes back to that. you know, the Christians, they have the evil eye too. It all goes back to that. It's been perverted, but it all goes back to Horus, which was actually a good thing. It meant to know on itself. It meant to know oneself completely.
Now, how much of the story of Horus is allegorical, and how much is about a real, you know, entity or individual? Would you say?
So Horus is actually another metaphor for Jesus too. Jesus is the same thing. He had 12 disciples. Horus, you get the word hours by rearranging Horus, because right. The ancients, they would look to the sky and they'd say, where's Horus? Horus takes 12 steps in the sky. The sun takes 12 steps in the sky. Horus represented the sun, whereas Jesus represents the sun too. Horus was born December 25th of a virgin. It's the same story. It's all astrotheology. It's all the same exact story, actually. It's the story of the sun going through the 12 signs, being judged and betrayed, being killed, and then resurrecting. It's the life cycle of the sun. That's the story behind every major religion, behind everything.
Yeah, you can definitely see that when you step back and you look at all the ancient texts. You don't think that Jesus or Horus were real individuals at all? It was just a way of telling this astrological...
No. In fact, the ancient Christians were called Heliognostics, knowers of the sun. In fact, 325, everybody knows about... what is his name? Constantine. Everybody knew about Constantine in the year 325. He united everything into Christianity, into a literal translation, a literal understanding of Christianity. Whereas his nephew, Julian the Apostate, a few years later after his death, tried to bring everyone back to sun worship. In fact, he was killed in battle by his own side. They had an arrow right in his back. But original Christianity was worship of the sun. And they knew this. Basically, the perversion in Christianity was to turn the Bible, the New Testament, into a literal story. That was the perversion. Everybody knew they were metaphors before then. Everyone spoke in metaphors. And as I've gone over last time, it's all just hidden astrology. Everybody knew this.
Yeah,
but now they've covered it. What they've done is they perverted it, and then they hid this information so that no one could find it. I mean, you really have to dig deep to get into this kind of stuff.
You really do. All the ancient interpretations that we hear about, you know, like you were just saying, that it's all astrotheology. These stories that we look at, it's very interesting. And they have something else that you put in your notes that I found very, very interesting. The Vulcan salute that was on Star Trek.
Yes, the Vulcan salute.
Yeah, live long and prosper. It has very interesting origins.
It does.
The Aaronic benediction. Tell us a little bit about that and the significance of it.
So basically, you know the sign that Jay-Z does, the Rock Nation, where he does the he puts up the diamond and it's in front of his eye, or he just hangs it out there. That was supposed to be how that is right now. That represents the New World Order is what it does now. That's how it's been perverted. However, that hand position that he puts it in, what you do is you take the Vulcan salute on both hands, okay? And then you form the diamond with it so that it's the Vulcan salute, two Vulcan salutes and the diamond in between it. And it was an ancient ancient Hebrew Kohanim, which is like the high priest class. It was called the benediction. It was actually a blessing on the congregation.
And talk a little bit about these Israeli how do you say that? Kohanim? Is it the
Kohanim? Yeah.
The Kohanim. Could you talk a little bit about these Jewish priests and their significance?
Yeah, basically, I mean, they had hand symbols too. I'm not too well versed in it, to be perfectly honest with you, but I do know in this particular case, They had a lot of hand symbols that were used to bless the congregation, and some of them have been perverted along the way. But it's basically, these are the ancient Israelis, the ones that the Bible speaks of. These people, this is the blessing that they used to do when they used to go to the temple. They used to receive the benediction. So that has been stolen and perverted.
Yeah.
So everything so far that we've gone over has been stolen and perverted.
Yeah. Every text you can look at in the Bible, you can find something older. It's very interesting. Now, something else that I find really fascinating is the possibility of how advanced some of these extremely ancient civilizations could have been when it comes to their knowledge of the stars and astrology. And I'm wondering, where do you think the origins of this knowledge comes from? I mean, you can look at tribes that seem primitive, like the Dogon, and they have extreme knowledge.
Yeah, the fish gods.
Yeah, they have extreme knowledge of the stars and astrology. Where do you think this comes from, this originates from? Was it just...
Well, I don't know how it spread from everybody, and I don't know how... I can't answer how it spread from everyone, and I can't answer where it originally came from, but I can tell you this. I'm not sure if we did this last time, but we're talking about the Lascaux Caves. Did we go over this last time?
I don't think so.
So the Lascaux Caves are caves that they found in France, okay? In the hills of France, they found these caves. And they went in and they explored them. And then deep within them, they found a wall full. It was a mural full of these animal etchings. They had, you know, they had fish. They had rams. They had goats. They had crabs. They had horses. And basically what they did when they saw it was they brought in an astronomer. And they brought a computer in, because now we have the technology to do this. And they carbon dated the wall. And the carbon date came back at about 40,000 years. And there's a lot of young Earth Christians that sit there and they don't believe in carbon dating. And that's kind of half true. I mean, the truth of the matter is up to 50,000 years, carbon dating has been proven as quite accurate. When you start to get into the 100,000s or even the million years, they tend to not be as accurate really at all. But the truth of the matter is up to 50,000, it works. So turns out this wall was 40,000 years old, 40,000 years old. So what they did was they rewound the clocks back. They took the sun, the star patterns, and they rewound the skies back 40,000 years. And what they did was when they printed out what it was and they superimposed it over the wall, the fish were where Pisces were. The horse was where Sagittarius was. The Aries, the ram was where it was. The crab, Cancer, was where it was. It was all there. Actually, technically, it wasn't a crab back then. It was a beetle was what it was back in the day. Or as far back as we can trace it, it was. Because the zodiac wasn't always the same. But it was mostly for the same. The other difference, basically, is that the Sphinx replaced the lion. Back in the day, but basically they found out that it completely matched up linearly. So these ancient people that were in the caves, they had knowledge of it. Not only did they have knowledge of it, but on June 21st, which is the summer solstice, the only day of the year this happened, the sun would creep into the cave and bounce off of the wall. Just on that one day. So they had that set up, and that they knew where all the animals were set up on. It's just incredible, because this is 40,000 years and they had the zodiac. And how did they know 40,000 years ago? Oh, you're looking at two fish, or you're looking at this, because it does take a little bit of observation to be able to see what you're looking at.
Right.
You know, I mean, the Pisces doesn't exactly look like two fish. Like the twins, Gemini kind of looks like the twins. Scorpio, I'll give you that. It looks like that. Leo the lion kind of does, but like most of the zodiac doesn't look like anything like what it is.
Right.
You know? And they had this information back then, so.
Yeah, that is fascinating. I want to get back to some of the symbolism that we're seeing, you know, in modern times. What about the devil horns? It's actually something that no one would ever realize what it really means, right?
Right, absolutely. So the devil horns themselves are actually, again, perverted. When you make the devil horns right now, you're basically signaling one world order, Luciferian. Or when I say Luciferian and I say devil, understand that I'm using it in the context that it's been perverted. Okay, the Luciferian and the devil in its initial sense was not perverted, was actually a good thing. But basically the devil horns, it was something called the Apana Mudra, which was used for purification. It purified the individual physically from toxins and it shed negative energies that you might be holding. So whenever you gave somebody the devil horns, you were basically giving them a blessing. So that got perverted.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Turned into the devil horns. At what point, I'm not entirely sure. But the devil horns themselves were another thing that was completely perverted.
And is it... It was something, a symbol to purify the individual?
Yes.
And shed negative energies?
Yes, that's what I said, yes. It's for purification. It purifies the soul and it sheds negative energies. It's kind of like what the... what do the Italians use? For the Maloki, you know, the horn?
Yes.
To protect them? It's the same concept.
Okay, very interesting. What about the two fingers seen on Baphomet? You see it on pictures with Jesus. Also, you know, pictures with Buddha. The two fingers pointing. What does this mean?
Yeah. So everybody knows the two fingers pointing up. It's on Jesus too, and it's on Satan, Baphomet, Lucifer. It's always the two fingers pointing up, and what that means. Okay. Is that's an ancient Kemetic peace sign. And by Kemetic, I mean K-H-E-M, which is a word for Egyptian. So in the Egyptian times, these two fingers up were a blessing, okay? It was a peace sign. The two fingers that we see now separate, okay, that's a British war sign. Okay, so the two fingers up actually were a blessing. So when you see the devil or you see Jesus with the two fingers up, they're telling you they come in peace. You know, you always see Jesus with two things. Number one, his two fingers up, and you always see the sun behind him because they're literally telling you that he's the sun. And you'll see him in the white Jesus, you know, or who's actually Caesar Borgia, who's actually... Pope Alexander VI, bastard illegitimate son. They decided to make him the face of Jesus because before him in the 1500s, they never had a picture of what Jesus looked like. So he became the white face of it. But the two things with Jesus is that you'll always have the two fingers and he'll always have the sun behind him, always.
Now, what about the understanding of Lucifer? From what I understand, it's just a representation of Venus, correct?
Yes. So it is a representation of Venus. So Lucifer calls himself the Morning Star, and he's also the Light Bearer. And he's actually mentioned at the beginning of Genesis, where God says, let there be light. Well, how are you going to have light without the Light Bearer? So Lucifer actually is installed in the first passage of Genesis, although without name. His purpose is there. And as far as Venus goes, he's known as he's known as the Light Bearer, but he's also known as the Morning Star. And the Morning Star is Venus. Okay. Venus is known as the Morning Star. Because if you look out into the if you look out where the sun's about to rise and you see that kind of light coming up a little bit, you'll see a very bright star that's shining there, and that's Venus. It announces the arrival of God's son. So Lucifer, actually, from a literal standpoint, he is known as basically the devil. That's where a lot of religious take it. But he's not. He is literally the light bringer. And it's the same thing with Satan. Satan basically means adversary. And that's basically where that is that he's known as Venus. In fact, Jesus calls himself the morning star. And I think it's John 22:16. He literally says, I am the root offspring of David and I'm the bright morning star. So Jesus calls himself the morning star too.
That's very interesting. I could see where it can cause a lot of confusion in, you know, religious circles. Right. You know, the misbelief in some of this stuff, once you start bringing some of this to the table, I'm sure a lot of cognitive dissonance kicks in for, you know, hardcore Christians and Catholics that really mm-hmm. interpret the Bible literally. You know, once they start hearing this information, I wonder, you know, have you encountered much, I guess, kind of kickback since you've started writing your books
I've been in the podcast circuit?
Yes.
Too.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest, I've had some of my best conversation with Christians, to be 100% honest. And it's because I tell them, look, I'm not trying to convince you one way or another. I just want to present some information you might not have heard. And that's kind of how I approach this. Everybody knows how I truly feel, but you give them respect and they'll give you respect. And then that's how you bridge gaps and you could start to make headway with conversations like that. It's been overwhelmingly positive. I haven't really gotten any negative feedback either in Amazon reviews or just people reaching out to me because I do tell them where they could find me. Usually people are just overwhelmingly excited about like the books and the information that I'm putting out there.
Well, that's an awesome thing. It kind of just shows the age we're going into where people are having a more conscious understanding of a lot of spiritual things. It's very encouraging. Now, to get back to some of the symbolism that we're talking about, what about the upside down cross or cross of St. Peter?
Right. So it is the cross of St. Peter, the upside down cross where they're trying to say it's a devil. It's devil worshiping.
Yes,
it's not.
Yes.
It's the cross of St. Peter. In the Bible, St. Peter literally said he couldn't be crucified the same way as Jesus because he wasn't holy enough. So they turned him upside down. It's actually a very powerful symbol, the upside down cross, because it's out of pure love. So it's been perverted as far as the devil's upside down cross, but it's and that's more recent, but it's really not.
Now it's hard to understand when, you know, say St. Peter wanted to be crucified upside down, but this is an allegorical story that shows, you know, how much he loved. It's still kind of hard to understand how it can be an allegorical story and not a real person at the same time.
So basically it's the same way that, so the Bible's not entirely astrotheology. It's not. Some of it is it tells you stories. Some of it has no astrology in it. You know, it's very much filled with astrotheology. When you write a story and you encode something in it, okay, you can tell a story where you speak on people and their emotions and everything and still have an underlying thing under it. Do you know what I mean? It's, you don't
Yes.
have to, just because I don't believe St. Peter was real doesn't mean that the emotion of him in the story being sacrificed upside down because he didn't feel good enough, that can't be, it's not an emotion that could be felt. You could definitely reach out and feel that kind of emotion.
Right. Right. Okay. I understand. It's, you know, kind of to draw a certain emotion or a state of mind whenever you're you're reading these stories to help put everything mm-hmm. together, I guess.
Right.
Now, what about the pentagram? A lot of misunderstandings about that symbol.
Right. So, okay, the pentagram is basically, it's the five-starred pentagram. And second of all, the pentagram upside down is supposed to be something evil. It's not. The upside down pentagram was created in the 1800s. It wasn't created earlier than that. And it was created by an occultist named Eliphas Levi. He's the one that created it. And it was just to show symbolism. Okay. It was not meant to be taken as the devil's whatever. But the pentagram in itself is an interesting thing, because what happens is, we were talking about how Lucifer's pentagram, right? It's Lucifer's pentagram. How the Lucifer basically is Venus, right? So Lucifer is Venus and Earth is Earth. And if you take the Earth and Venus and you go around the sun for 1 year, they almost connect at 5 points. You just draw a line to connect the 5 points, and that's the pentagram. So that's Lucifer's pentagram right now, the morning star.
Very interesting. And do you think that some of these ancient occult practices that are misinterpreted as, you know, satanic rituals or, you know, different types of things that used to be done were just different ways that the ancients would kind of express their understanding of what was going on in the stars, what was going on every day?
It's the same thing. Basically, the way I describe astrotheology is it's just the mythology of the zodiac. Whereas the Greeks and the Romans had their own mythologies based on the stars, and you had Jupiter, and you had Zeus, and you had Saturn, right? You had all these known stars and planets and such. That's basically it.
And it seems like some of these people that have been in power over the centuries have used these different stories and religions to create, I guess, what you could call gods or deities, to use to their advantage to gain power throughout time. And that's, right. I guess, part of the reason why these stories have been manipulated as well.
Absolutely. Well, the thing about religions is you have to understand is that back in the, and I think I said this last time, but I'll say it again. During the Egyptian time, that was the age of Taurus. Okay. In the age of Taurus, you saw hieroglyphs of bulls with the sun in the middle of their horns. I mean, they can't make it any more obvious than that. You know, Jesus with the sun behind his back, the bulls with the sun in between its horns. So they knew this. And then basically you have the Jewish people that come up in Aries, and they are the prevalent people now. You know, they blow the ram's horn, which is the ram. You know, they smear lamb's blood on their door to prevent them from losing their firstborn son. In Passover, they have the lamb bone is part of the Passover plate. And then they start to fade. And then in Pisces, the Christians come up. We have Pisces, the two fish. You have the Jesus fish. You have Jesus feeding the masses with two fish. Two fish is Pisces. And then now we're in the age of Aquarius. And it's why everybody, all the like the New World Order, keeps talking about a one world religion.
Yeah. Now that kind of brings me to what I wanted to talk about next. You said you've done some decoding into the Book of Revelation. With everything that is happening right now, there's so much talk. You hear the word apocalypse. You hear people talking about we're living in times of revelation. We're in the tribulation.
Right.
I'd like to get some of your interpretations of the Book of Revelation when it comes to astrotheology and, you know, some of the meanings behind it.
I can certainly do that. I can give you two examples right off the bat. If we're going to go into the Book of Revelation, we're going to need a whole other segment for that.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we can synopsis for this time.
Okay. So basically, let me give you an example. In Revelation 4:7, it says the first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had the face like a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. And you have to understand something is that Scorpio, the belly crawling creature, scorpion, it crawls on its belly. It's the lowest form of life. But its evolved metaphysical self is the eagle. And that evolved metaphysical self of the eagle is the phoenix. So the Scorpio is the eagle, basically, if that makes any kind of sense. So the first living creature was like a lion, that's Leo. The second was like an ox, that's Taurus. The third had a face like a man, that's Aquarius. And the fourth was like a flying eagle, that's Scorpio. You take those four signs, okay, and you put it on the zodiac wheel, it forms an X. And it happens that, I'm not going to go into this right now, but it happens to be that they also happen to be the four fixed signs of the zodiac.
I see. Now, what do you interpret, you know, the cataclysmic events and all the other prophesized things that come out of the book of Revelation?
I'll give you another example. In Revelation 12, and I'm going to paraphrase this one, there's a great sign appeared in heaven. If any of your listeners are read the Bible, this is the woman with the dragon, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet. She was pregnant and cried out in pain. She was about to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to earth. So that's a pretty big prophecy, no? Right. Well, the great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun is literally a metaphor for the sun is in Virgo. A woman clothed with the sun, Virgo. Okay. With the moon under her feet. So if the sun is in Virgo, then the moon is directly under it. Okay? She was pregnant because she has to be pregnant because it's always a virgin birth. And then her enormous red dragon came out. Now, the interesting thing is that there's a constellation called Draco. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Yes, I have.
A lot of people have. That's the dragon. Okay? And its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to Earth. Draco's tail goes from Aries to Sagittarius, which is four signs, which is a third of the zodiac.
Very interesting. Now, when it comes to some ancient practices, kind of in line with astrotheology, something that you might consider magical practices, where these ancients knew how to use certain energies, frequencies, how to become kind of one with the earth, and knew a lot more about the spiritual side and metaphysical side of our existence. Do you think that that was kind of integrated into these texts as...
It was definitely hidden in it. Like the way the pyramids were made, it was used something called acoustic levitation, which we're only now figuring out. They used things like acoustic levitation, sonic drilling, which has to do with tuning forks. You get a large enough tuning fork and you match the frequency of that and the limestone. And then you smack the tuning fork and it basically cuts through it like butter when you match the frequencies. So they used to do that. They used to acoustic frequency too. They used to tap into this kind of stuff, absolutely, and they would place it in the sacred texts. Basically, there's layers to the text. It's like, it's not just astrotheology. That's just kind of what I do, but it's like a multi-layered dip is what it is. You know, there's something different and every layer that you look at it, it's really one of the most incredible thing. And it's just beyond me how it was written. It's really an incredible book.
Definitely. Now we have a little bit of time left. I was wondering if you could get into some of your decoding of the Book of Enoch, because that is, I have that book right on the side of my bed right now. Kind of go over it every once in a while, just to read through it again. I find it fascinating, and I'd like to get kind of your takes on some of the meanings of the book.
Right, I can give you two. Like I gave you two examples before. I'll give you two examples right now, because if we're gonna do Enoch, I would want to do it the right way and do the whole thing.
Okay.
But basically, in chapter 2, it says, "Observe ye everything that takes place in the heaven, how they do not change their orbits, and the luminaries which are in the heaven, how they all rise and set in order in each of their season, and transgress not against their appointed order. Okay? Then you go to chapter 8.2, and it said, Samjaza taught enchantments, Artemaros, the resolving of enchantments, Barakriel taught astrology, Kokabel taught the constellations, Ezekiel taught the knowledge of the clouds, Sariel, the course of the moon. So they flat out tell you that. This is why Enoch was not actually in the Bible, is because all the astrotheology in the Bible is hidden. The book of Enoch openly speaks of it.
Now, the book of Enoch also speaks of giants, Nephilim offspring. Do you think that this was also allegorical, or were they really talking about
it? No, they're finding bones. They're finding giant bones.
Right.
They're finding giant bones and they're suppressing them. There's a guy named Robert Seffer. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, Robert Seffer. He does a lot of work on this. He's like a fringe archaeologist kind of guy. And he has a lot of work on this. But yeah, they found giant bones. The interesting thing is, if you think about it right now, you ever see a 7'5", 7'6", 7'6" person?
It's rare, but yeah.
Right, but they're always walking with like a cane or some shit.
Yes, yeah.
They're always walking with a cane because their bones literally can't support that. So you're finding these bones of these things that are three times the size of that, that were clearly being able to walk around. So it was something else. It wasn't human. That's for sure.
Right, and that's one of the aspects of the Book of Enoch. You know, you have the astrotheology that you mix in, but then they have these actual... what are possible facts of that giants would exist, existed at the same time as man, and these, these beings that are suppressed and hidden by the Smithsonian, the bones are getting rid of and suppressed, and no one has heard about it. It just brings so much more to the table in the stories from the Bible and the Book of Enoch. It's really fascinating.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
Now, is there any other passages or anything from Enoch that we could that you could tell us before we move on?
They're a little as you go on. My next chapter is 14, and they're a little more difficult. It's going to take a little more time to explain, so we'll probably do it next time.
All right, that sounds excellent. Now, before you head out tonight, is there anything that you've been working on since the last time we spoke? Anything new that you'd like to kind of introduce tonight? Anything that you're working on or will be coming up with in the future?
So basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn the last thing that we talked about and this tonight into a PowerPoint presentation, because I'm doing a couple conferences in the summer for a couple of big podcasts. Big podcasts. And I've been invited to a couple conferences, so I'm going to give lectures there. But that's basically about it. I have Enoch done. I have Revelation done. I have Matthew done. We could do the book of Matthew. Not now though, but I have these three books done so that we can always come back to them, circle back to them, and I could just go through them line by line and show you how it's astrology.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be excellent. Yeah, always fascinating whenever you're coming on to present this information. And, it goes so deep. I really encourage people to go back and listen to the first episode again, because you explain a lot more detail about the basics of astrotheology in the Bible. And I want to thank you again for coming on tonight. It was fascinating information again. Before you head out, for people that are looking for more about you and your books, where is the best way that they can do so?
So the best way to find me is on Twitter and Facebook at Micah Dank. You could friend me, follow me. If you're interested in the books, You can reach out to me. I could send you signed copies. We can work something out. If you don't want to give Bezos your money and you want to buy directly through me, we have options for that. And there's basically that. That's basically where I'm at.
Awesome. Sounds great. Mike, I want to thank you again so much. And you mentioned conferences earlier today. One of those conferences is going to be for our show, Forbidden Knowledge NewsCon 2021. Yep. You will be one of the amazing presenters at that conference. We'll be looking forward to that. We'll be making more announcements on that in the near future. In fact, our official announcement will be this weekend. We'll be putting out some promotional information and some ads for that. So be on the lookout for that. It's going to be an amazing conference, and that will be April 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of this year. So once again, Micah, thank you for coming on tonight. And until next time.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Until next time, everyone else, have an excellent evening.